Blog Talk Radio.
It's a brand new morning. What's my reason? Again for living. With a brand new mercy I'm giving.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Well, hello, everyone, and happy Sunday to you. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Peggy Avila. We will feature a special guest on the last Sunday of every month. So if you know of a woman or a man that we need to talk to about their business, email the information to us. Our mission is to recognize and celebrate the accomplishments of women and men in our local communities and around the world. Make sure I say that again, not excluding men. So today we're going to have a really good show for you. We have some really good topics that we're going to discuss. But for everyone who's listening right now, you can call someone right now, send them a text. Just tell them to call in to 323-642-1757. Women in Motion is featured on eWater Radio. That's KEWR-DV. Once again, call in 323-642-1757. You could also listen on www.blogtalkradio.com/eWater Radio. You could email me at womeninmotion07@gmail.com. Please send the information in. And I hope everyone's having a great Sunday. We're so happy that you're here joining us. We do have a very special guest, and I am so excited that they took time out of their busy schedule just to join us and share some important topics that really has an impact on what we're going through right now. So they're waiting, and I'm definitely going to introduce them, but I like to say this. We're presenting Council Member Curran Price Jr. Going to discuss the importance of voting and the upcoming election on November the 3rd, how important it is to take time to exercise the right to vote, including our communities and more. And I just like to say a little bit about him. Curran D. Price Jr. was born and raised in Los Angeles City Council District that he was elected to represent in 2013 and overwhelmingly reelected in 2017. His first job at a young age was shining shoes. It gave him a perspective on the struggles of working class families and inspired him a lifetime commitment to serve his community. That's just to say a little. He wears many hats. Curran Price is focused on building a more thriving future for local families, which includes economic growth and opportunity, increasing affordable housing, working to reduce homelessness, and defending the rights of immigrants. His agenda is full, and his agenda is quite a bit, and we are just overwhelmed to have him joining us today. How you doing, Mr. Curran Price, Councilman? How you doing,
You're
Mr.
listening
Price?
Today. I'm doing well,
How
thank
you.
It's
doing...
an honor to be with you and Women in Motion today.
Well, we are overwhelmed. As you can tell, I got a little tongue-tied because this is just amazing. It's just the perfect timing, too. You're a longtime friend, and I greatly appreciate you taking the time to discuss some important topics with us. It's your show. It's your discussion. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, I'm from the community. Went to Normandy Avenue Elementary School, which is in my district now. Audubon, and then my family moved to Inglewood. And I graduated from Morningside High. I had a chance to attend Stanford as a undergrad and then went to law school. But I've always been focusing on economic development, trying to bring about improving the quality of life for our community. I served on the Englewood City Council, some may recall, then went to the legislature, serving in the Assembly and then the State Senate before coming to the L.A. City Council. So I guess you can say I'm a glutton for punishment. but I think think that public service is important.
Very important. That's the one of the reasons for having you on, because there's many topics we're going to have you discuss.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of listeners on. There is a time I want my listeners to know right now, if you have any ambient sound or any sound going on in the background, just put your phones on mute. You still have an opportunity to share with someone to call in to 323-642-1757. City Councilman Curran Price is joining us live on Women in Motion on the E-Water Radio.
And Peggy,
I just wanted to
bring greetings from the citizens in CD9. That's 250,000 citizens who live in the area, roughly from Adams down to about Manchester between Normandy and Central Avenue as boundaries. But black and brown, working class folks trying to make a difference, trying to support their families. You know, probably 80% of my constituents are renters. That compares to about 65% citywide. About a third of my population is under 18. So we really have to look forward, looking for the future, certainly recognizing what we're doing now, but we have to lay the groundwork for our youth and for the next generation.
Yes, the youth are very important, and it's a lot that we have to get information out there so they can learn certain things like voting. But I'd like to ask you this as well. What made you go into politics?
Well, I think I always just had an interest in public service. You know, I was active in student government, student council, class president, student body president, kind of active in church growing up. It always seemed a opportunity to really make a difference. So I used my law background. I wanted to be a lawyer, not to practice law per se, but just for the background perspective that it gave me. And it's been very helpful in my public service.
Okay, so you're doing quite a bit, wearing a lot of hats.
Well, as I said, we're trying to keep things moving. You know, my district has LA Live. It has the Exposition Park with the Coliseum, a new soccer stadium. It's going to have the new Lucas Museum and Expo Park. But my district also has high rates of poverty. You know, we have high dropouts in the schools. We have probably the second largest concentration of homelessness in the city is in CD9. And so we're always focusing on those programs, those policies that, you know, really impact the everyday lives of folks that are trying to survive, trying to make it, you know, sometimes working two, three jobs to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And so I've always been focused on, you know, making sure the resources are available, but also opportunities exist for programs and for individuals to move forward. So we try to strike that balance in CD9. We call it the new ninth. And I think you know, some of those efforts have really come to fore during this pandemic, during this issue. We've been focused on making sure that citizens have information about testing and can be tested freely. And so I was proud to have one of the first walk-up locations in South L.A. At the Kedron Community Health Center. But we also have services from St. John's Well Center, the South Central Family Center. There's an Expo Park drive-through. And so we're making these services available. We know that our communities, black and brown communities, are really negatively impacted by this disease. And one of the things we can do better is testing, and so I want to make sure that those resources are available for the residents in my district and for others who certainly want to take advantage of these resources.
Yes, testing is very important, and the thing is, how do we get people to realize how important it is to get tested? Do you believe your perspective on it? Should you just get tested automatically, or should you wait until you feel symptoms?
Well, I've had several tests, the swab and the nasal, and most recently had the antibody test. I just think it's just makes sense to to get as much information as we can. We all know those tests are only good that day. Really, they don't tell you what happened. You know, you still come down with something the next day. But testing is one of the things we have to do. Testing is one of the things that we have to do. And you know, in addition to social distancing, wearing a mask, washing our hands, and just being careful. But we know this is also the flu season coming up. And so, again, we're encouraging neighbors and family and friends to get a flu shot. Again, this is available free at many of our health facilities. And so it's just important that we take advantage of our health and the health for our community, you know, our families and our community.
Yes.
And we just can't be doing enough of that. But this has been a real difficult time for many residents. And so, you know, the city council has implemented some protections about evictions. And so that, I think, has been helpful, at least for individuals who have been impacted by the virus, lost a job, lost income, were sick. So there's some protection there. We're expanding opportunities for job search information, unemployment information. And most excitedly, I think, is that we're making some monies available for businesses, for small businesses, not just loans, but grants. You know, there's a LA Recovery Fund with grants ranging from $5,000 to $25,000. And
That's really good.
That round of applicants is going to open on the 26th, which is Monday, and it closes on the 30th. And so we're just encouraging.
For the grant.
Encouraging businesses. Or this is good for nonprofits. It could be for a small business, a micro business. And the grant can be used to assist in services. So, but these are the kinds of resources that we have to increasingly make available. Loans just aren't getting it anymore. You know, the loans, you know, it's a difficult process, and we need to make sure that as many people are getting help as possible. And so I'm actively supporting these programs as well.
Well, those programs are really good. And the programs, how do they get information regarding these programs?
Well, you know, they can certainly contact lacovidfund.org, or you can call 833-238-4450. This is for the Regional COVID-19 Recovery Fund. And that number, again, is 833-238-4450. Now, it is going to be a lottery. You know, we certainly can't serve as many people who need help. But to be included in the lottery, you got to file, sign up. so sign up, and you know, be a part of this process as we move forward. There's also an interesting program some of your listeners may have an interest in for child care providers. And there's a grant program of $10,000, $25,000, $40,000 for child care providers. And again, this is to assist them in recreating their space, providing additional resources. But the number to call at the Workforce Development Office is 213-744-7300. And the application deadline for that, I think, is tomorrow, actually. So you should call tomorrow first thing about this is the Child Care Provider Grant Program. It offers licensed child care operators affected by the pandemic. At a loss in revenue, an opportunity to apply for $10,000, $25,000, or $40,000 in grants.
That's really good.
So,
that's some great information.
Information? Yeah, just some of the things that we're doing. Of course, we're doing the food giveaways with the masks and the sanitation and, you know, the diapers. We just got to do more. Certainly serving our seniors, we're concerned about their well-being. We've been doing extensive testing at senior facilities. and providing food, of course, to those unable to come out. We've been doing testing at our housing project sites, Avalon Gardens and Pueblo del Rio. And so, again, this is we're all in this together, and we have to really work as
yes,
a community to see some progress.
That's right. We're all in the same storm but in a different boat. And all
yes,
of those
yes,
programs
indeed.
And all that good information that you're sharing, everyone listening, take advantage of that to help you and your families. It's for our communities. And you have City Councilman Curran Price is giving you this information. And also, as I stated, if this is your show, it's your discussion. I would like you to discuss the importance of voting in the November the 3rd election. There's so many people asking questions.
It really is, you know, and this is really, we have a legacy of involvement. You know, our forefathers died. They died, you know, for the right
yes.
to vote. And there are just all kinds of details known and unknown about African Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice because they were just trying to do what the country says it was meant to be, you know, nation freedoms. So it's important that we vote. It's important that we step up. And we have to realize that when we don't vote, that's a vote. You know, so people say, oh,
yeah.
I'm not going to vote. I don't want to give out. You're voting. You're voting by not voting. And so, you know, at a time when there is great voter suppression afoot, you know, efforts to prevent people from voting, to prevent the individuals from expressing their ideas and their concerns, we have to take advantage of everything we can to make sure we are voting. And so I'm encouraged to see the expansion of now we can vote over several days. You know, again, that's something that many of us have been advocating for years. You know, that's similar to what occurs in Europe. We can vote over several days and we can vote in many places. So there's no excuse for not being registered and then not voting. Voting has begun already. The voter centers are open this weekend. And, of course, you can drop your vote in the mail or you can take it to the polling place. And there's no excuse not to vote, not to express your
That's
your
right,
will.
11 days. And like you said, it was a struggle, and we have the right to vote, and we should exercise that right to vote. Very important. And there
yes,
are a lot
should.
Of people.
And it's important that we vote at every level, the local level. The school board level, you know, at the county level, board of supervisors, you know, the water board, you know, at the state level, so the representatives in the assembly, in the Senate, of course, the federal level, or Congress representatives, and our state, or senators, you know, and our president, we got to vote. We have to, you know, we can't just let this one go. The voting does make a difference, and black votes make a big difference.
Oh, yes. A very big difference. We need to really stick together. We need to get out and vote. We need to make a voice, and you make a voice by voting. And a lot of people, like you had stated, they're not wanting to vote, but also I want to go back. It's 11 days of voting right now. I believe it's 11 days that you can go
yep.
and vote. And
right.
correct me if I'm not right, everyone was sent a vote-by-mail ballot.
That's correct. That's correct.
If they have any fear of COVID,
and if you haven't received
uh-huh.
it, you can go to your polling place and get your ballot there. There's no excuse absolute for not voting. But yes, the Californians received the. I think I got mine last week. They're in the mail, and you know, more and more individuals are voting by mail, and of course, you know, with this pandemic, concerns about the social distancing. About coming in contact with others, voting by mail has already proven to be a tremendous result. The nationwide, the vote count is up. People are participating in record numbers, and they are
that's
expressing
right.
their will. Expressing
mm-hmm.
their will, that's
and that's
right.
good. Yes, we need to do that. And a lot of people are focusing on the presidential, but also propositions.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about propositions are very important.
They certainly are, you know, and they are a way of determining what what programs or policies are put into effect. Certainly, Proposition 16 is a major, major concern here in California, a chance to reverse the anti-affirmative action programs that have been in place for the last 30 years. And so we want to be able to use race as a factor in issuing contracts and also admissions to the colleges and universities here in our state. And so we're working, as I said, we want to make sure that, you know, our young people and others have opportunities. And we know that unless individuals can get their foot in the door, a lot of times things just don't happen. They just don't happen.
Yes. That's so true. On a proposition, what is an easy way to go through propositions?
Pardon?
What is an easy way to go through propositions?
Well, I think just you know, you have to consider each one on his or her face, see who's supporting it. You know, it's important, I think, to you know, read the literature from both sides. You know, you can look down at the bottom of the page, and you see is it being sponsored by teachers, by workers, by businesses. That always gives you a good indication of where the measure is coming from. But also, you know, you can go online, you can get some information. You can increasingly, people are talking about the issues and concerns. I think it's one of the most important things we can do is, as you said, encourage people, regardless of how they vote, but encourage people to understand what the issues are and understand the importance of them participating in it.
Yes, taking the time to read through those propositions and
sometimes, you know, and by on purpose, sometimes they are confusing the way they are worded. You know, you vote, you say yes and it means no, you say no and it means yes, you're going to do it. That's kind of the old game of electoral politics. You know, California was blessed with the initiative and the referendum, and so you know, and sometimes the businesses don't like the result that, from the legislature, and they can gather signatures, and with enough money they can get it on the ballot to have people vote for it directly. And sometimes it's against their interest, but nonetheless, that's their right.
Yes, because someone was asking me, and I say, well, I'll ask you. They wanted to know, what are the yeses versus the no votes? Well, yes is mm-hmm. yes and no is no on the propositions. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you have to study those because propositions are very important. It affects our everyday living.
Yeah.
Things that we're in our communities.
Well, certainly one is important is Proposition J, and that's for more funding for social service programs. You know, mm-hmm. and I didn't mention certainly one of the biggest things, one of the bigger things we're looking at now, is this whole idea of reimagining the police. You know, I was one of the authors of the motion that shifted $150 million from the police to other services. I've been supportive of efforts to redesign mental health, substance abuse, neighborhood dispute issues away from law enforcement agencies to other kinds of community supportive services. You know, when there's an accident, for example, you don't need to have three or four police cars showing up. You know, maybe it's only one car is necessary. But we got to figure out ways to utilize our law enforcement, I think, more effectively, and to utilize our community interveners in ways that we haven't before. And so we continue to take a look at how we are going to be reprogramming over $100 million. Those decisions have not been made yet. I certainly am supportive of youth programs, training programs. I'm supportive of programs that provide intervention, gang intervention, prevention programs and services. I think it's better spending that money on the front end than on the back end. You know, and if that means, you know, providing some stipends and training to our gang members, gang interveners, then we should be doing that. We got to be investing in our community in ways that we haven't before. And so I'm anxious to get the ideas, thoughts, suggestions and feelings that individuals have. Because when we talk about, you know, reimagining the law enforcement, reimagining public safety, again, we all have a chance to have some say-so into what that looks like.
Yes, we do. And why do you think many are not wanting to vote right now?
Well, I think a lot of times folks just, you know, they feel that it doesn't really do any good. They don't understand the importance, and some are just lazy. And I think, again, the efforts to extend the voting period gets at that. You know, allowing people to vote by mail helps to get that. Having a number of places where people can vote helps to address those issues and concerns. And hopefully, as individuals, you know, pay attention to the policies and programs being enunciated by the president and others, people will be inspired to move, inspired to act, inspired to express themselves. Now is the time, and now is the place for us to do that.
It is. It's a perfect time, even though we're going through. Do you think that your perspective on it, actually, that this COVID, this pandemic, everything that we're going through has affected the way that we're going to vote and what makes this election so different from any other election?
Well, I think it does. I think it has. I think everyone has been affected by this one way or the other. And I think we all feel that, you know, had there been a more coordinated response at the federal level, you know, the number of deaths could have been reduced. You know, I think people are making a judgment on how the president has acted, has performed, has served, and what the Biden is proposing. And so I think I think people have a chance to kind of draw some conclusions, draw some understanding of how it impacts them personally, and then to make a judgment. But, you know, we look like we're going to the polls in record numbers this year, and I just hope that that also includes record numbers of black and brown voters stepping up to the polls to express themselves.
That's definitely, because it took a lot for us to get to where we are. And
yes.
And us voting.
As I said, it was the efforts of, and they're always efforts to suppress our vote, to make it difficult for us to vote, to make it impossible, you know. And so we've got to be vigilant, making sure that, that those efforts are not successful and that we affirmatively step up to the plate and vote when we have an opportunity to do so.
Yes. Would you say that's a good way for us coming together as a community?
Well, I think it's been a very powerful message. I've been hearing it more and more. You know, people are saying, you know, be safe, you know, stay healthy, and vote. And vote.
Yes.
You know, and so we're hearing that, you know, across all kinds of platforms. And, you know, individuals who are famous, who have notoriety in sports, in business, in the arts, are expressing themselves in ways that we've not seen in a long, long time.
Okay. Well, I'm interviewing and having a discussion with Councilman Curran Price. If anyone at this time have any questions you would like to ask, please do so now. Anyone have a question you'd like to ask? Nope, I'm keeping it open for a minute. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, we're speaking on the November the 3rd election, the city's response to the COVID-19 crisis, financial support, rent relief, economic assistance for assistance, COVID-19 testing in the community. Any questions you have, please do so now. Or any comments?
Well,
maybe
you don't have a question,
if you have a comment.
Yeah. While those questions are coming in, or comments coming in, let me just make just a brief comment on homelessness, because that certainly is the number one humanitarian crisis that we're facing. Again, not just in CD9, but throughout the city and throughout our country, homelessness is a big issue. I've been working closely with the federal judge in identifying locations for those folks experiencing homelessness that are living near the freeways, for example. In my district, I have almost 500 people on the overpasses, underpasses, just, you know, in intolerable situations. And so there's a specific effort targeting those communities over the next several weeks, and so we hope to be able to really make some progress. But more importantly, to provide some help to people who need it. First, emergency shelter, and then some permanent supportive housing. You know, but we have to get people off the streets, off, you know, out of tents.
So how would you recommend getting people off the streets? What's a good way?
Well, you know, of course, we have to comply with the court order. You know, the court is saying that unless you show you have housing, you can't remove the tents. And that's why we've been in this quandary citywide, because we don't have enough housing. That's why the court order has stood. Now the judge is saying that if you show you've got, you know, on a district-by-district basis, show that you're making some progress, then he's willing to lift that injunction. And so we're working closely with the courts, with also the LASA, the County Homeless Agency, with HOPICS, the agency in South L.A., and local businesses to really provide some assistance. We want to get individuals off the street, but get them into some either temporary or some permanent supportive housing so they can continue their recovery. And then we have to make sure that the area doesn't get repopulated with encampments after the encampment has been moved. And so we're working closely with community organizations, individuals, and others to, again, achieve this kind of triage that's going to be important to get folks off the streets and get them some help.
Okay. Do you believe there's a lot of homelessness, is more since they had the pandemic with people that have lost their jobs due to COVID?
Well, we do see a surge, yes. You know, and increasingly, you know, families, you know, mothers and children, you know, are being impacted. And while the evictions per se have not moved forward, we know that it's just a matter of time before they will. There was a program that I proposed. This was before the pandemic struck. We called it a homeless prevention program. And the idea was to provide some financial support to someone who couldn't pay a bill, you know, who was in danger of falling into homelessness because the water and utilities were on, or they weren't able to pay the rent, or they didn't have money for food. And so this emergency fund could kind of step in to provide that kind of stopgap help. And we still need to be doing that and more of that because people are just suffering. It's just tough. And you know, I get stories. People call the office. They're asking for help. They're confused. They're concerned, and they want to know that the government is there to help support. And we are.
Yeah. Yes. And do you guys have volunteers sometimes that come and help with giving the food? I mean, I know it's a pandemic, and you have to be very careful with who's volunteering.
Yeah,
but
we do have volunteers.
People can just volunteer?
Absolutely. We have community volunteers that work with us on our food giveaways. We're preparing now for our annual senior luncheon, and we're going to be delivering some 2,500 meals to seniors throughout our area. We know that the opportunities to volunteer at the parks. The parks have an educational program. And so it's a chance for all of us, individuals, to step up if you have a skill or an interest. Certainly, you know, some extra vetting is going to be required. But if you have a desire and a willingness to serve, I'm confident we can find a situation for you to be involved in.
Okay. How would they get involved? Do you have some information, or?
Well, they certainly are free to contact our district office. That's our office there on 43rd and Central, 4301 Central Avenue. And the number there is 323-846-2651. And as I said, we are always looking to engage the community. There are always activities and efforts going on. We know that people
Bless
are concerned
you.
About social distancing. Thank you. But we can work to connect folks with others that want to make some difference.
Okay, well, we're getting some important information. Once again, we're so happy to have you joining us. I'm going to open up my mic because if anyone have a question you'd like to ask, you could ask now. Anyone? Anyone have a question you'd like to ask? I'm going to open up my mic. I'm kind of trying to keep a lot of the ambient sound off.
Okay.
And is there any?
Anyone? My name is Charmaine.
What is your name?
Can you hear me? Charmaine.
Yes. Hi, Charmaine. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi. I would like to know if there is such thing as at least once a month, and we could have volunteers to go to the freeways where the homeless have left and left dirt and filth. If we could get a group at least once a month and go to different areas and have the city to provide us with trash cans, that we could help the homeless feel a little bit better beside being in such despair.
I agree.
No wish for tomorrow. And I would like to know if we can get that going.
Well, let me tell you, we need to do more of that. And that's part of our frustration because the freeways, on-ramps and off-ramps, is not the city. It's Caltrans. It's the state. And so we fight almost on a daily basis about the off-ramps at King, at Vernon, at Manchester, at Florence. And so I hear you, and we do coordinate monthly cleanup campaigns. I invite you again to contact my district office. We're happy to connect you with our next effort, and we do literally just that: go out, clean up, and set an example. And my number again at the district office is area 323-846-2651. But we're going to take things even a step further. I am securing with the discretionary funds. I'm securing dump trucks and skip loaders, so that we can so we can have another crew picking up trash, because it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Like,
and where would you have that?
Well, we're going to be acquiring it over the next several weeks. It's been approved because I was just tired of waiting solely on the city trucks to come out and pick up this debris and bulky items. We got to do a better job.
Because I thought it was Caltrans, but there's no such thing as Caltrans today. We just don't. It's like nobody care. And and I would love to care. I would love to do, but I have nothing to. If I sweep it up, what am I going to put it in?
Yeah, I agree.
Plastic
bags don't
hold
it. We've been working on providing trash containers at the encampments, restrooms. We have to treat people more humanely. And you're right, the trash and bulky items that build up need to be removed. They shouldn't just remain there because the court thinks it's a part, of the encampment. And so that's again why trash and debris sometimes is not removed from the encampments, because again the courts are saying that you can't touch the quote private property.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you go to other states or go to even other suburb towns, they don't have this. Just immediately Los Angeles in the small
The homeless community has been very effective in securing court-ordered protection. And so they've been able to stalemate the city. They've been able to stalemate the city and until now we do have housing in the pipeline. It'll be coming on, another year. But some complain that that's too expensive and it's taking too long. And I agree.
Yeah, if we've got to wait for next year, we'd be knee-deep. We'd all be trying to have a straw so we could breathe.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
caller, where do you live, if I may ask?
Pardon?
I said, where do you live, if I may ask?
Well, I'm a gypsy. So right now, I'm living in Walnut, California.
Okay, well, that's right down the street.
My home is in Playa Vista. That's where I reside. like I said, I'm a gypsy right now, so I'm being kicked out of one house to the other.
Well, good. Just be safe. That's all we ask.
I'm just two steps from the tent.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
That was my main concern forever, is if we can
do
that.
It's a good question.
That
we do try to encourage that. It's a great idea, suggestion. We do encourage it. We literally get out there with some brooms ourselves. But those the highways, the freeway on-ramps especially, the purview of Caltrans, and it's an ongoing battle with Caltrans. Again, express your concern to your state representative, your assemblyman, or your state senator, because Caltrans has not been a good partner.
Okay, because I think they're hiding, but I'll call this number and see where I can help.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
All right.
Great. Thank you, Charmaine. Appreciate it. Anyone else have any questions at this time?
Welcome.
Anyone
Hi,
have a question
Katrina.
On the Hi.
Hi.
Hi,
Katrina. I have a question, Katrina. I just wanted to know, because they cut the census short, did that affect any of the money that comes into the community for these programs?
Well, it's too soon to tell, because the actual assessments have not been made yet. But that was something we were very concerned about. The fact that the census will be cut short, that our count would not be accurate, and that especially in minority and underserved areas, failure to get the resources that we deserve. So time will tell. There was a big push, a lot more sensitivity to that issue now, but we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, and I had a follow-up question. It was regarding voting. I know that California identified some of the boxes that the GOP put out that were fake boxes. So how were they able to secure who had voted already and if they had been tampered with? Because there was a box in La Mirada, California, that was set on fire. So what are they doing to safeguard, even though California isn't one of the states that has severe problems? What's California doing?
Yeah, it's a good point. As a matter of fact, the Secretary of State had ordered them to be returned. There was some legal battle. I think the Republican Party said they didn't have to return them. I think the ballots, though, returned over to the county clerk. But, again, that's just an example of voter suppression that is all too prevalent during this cycle. And, the Republicans say they're within the law. They could do it. But it certainly was misleading in a way that, again, discouraged people from voting and expressing their right.
Well, not only discouraged, it was almost stealing their vote if people had actually used those boxes. And that was my concern. How would they find out? I did hear, and I don't know if this is correct, that they were able to identify some of the people who had voted in La Mirada when that happened. So It is a concern.
Yeah, it was almost voluntary. I think people kept stepping forward to indicate they had voted, and so they're asking for anecdotal information. There were a few ballots that were actually physically destroyed, and I'm not sure how that was going to be addressed.
Okay. Yeah, I spoke to quite a few people here recently, and I myself have voted, but I still run into people with questions. Because of all the misinformation that's being put out there, you mentioned earlier that if you don't get your ballot, that you can pick it up at the polls. Well, I was also told, and please correct this for anybody listening, if you did receive your ballot, you can take it to the polls, and they may ask you to see it. So do you have
to
get it?
Yeah, well, you can take it to any number of vote centers. It doesn't have to be your polling place. It could be a vote center. So you have options, and we want people to recognize that they physically can take it in any number of locations, in addition to mailing
it
in.
And I want you to clear this up for anybody listening. If they show up at a poll in person to vote and they don't have their ballot, is that going to be a problem?
No, they'll get what's called a provisional. They'll get a provisional ballot. Yeah,
okay.
They'll get a provisional ballot that will be count it when their identity is verified, the residency is verified. Yeah, no, but everybody can vote.
Okay, so they don't have to take the one they got in mail.
No, they can, but they don't have to. Yeah.
Okay, that was the question.
Okay, any other questions, anyone, at this time? We have City Councilman Karen Price.
Oh, while they're thinking of one, Katrina, can I have one last question, and that is, if any California pollsters see any of these intimidating protests out there, people trying to stop their vote, is there a plan in place by law enforcement?
Good question.
No, that's a very good question, and we're told that law enforcement is on the alert. I know the city attorney has also indicated assistance for the polls to make sure that does not occur. And there are a number of private organizations, of course, that are also going to be doing polling and monitoring, I should say, monitoring the polls as they have a right to do. So there'll be a great deal of scrutiny, I think, a great deal of attention over the next several days of voting, as there have already been. And again, just underscoring the fact that the vote is so important that everybody needs to be involved, everyone needs to participate. And if you're eligible to vote, you should be voting your will.
Okay, well, thank you. Yes, I wanted to vote early in case I got sick, got COVID or whatever. I wanted to be covered.
Oh, good. Yes, well, I voted early also. So, and more,
sure
listen, more and more doing it, more and more doing it this year than ever before.
Yeah, but I think they should have a plan, a backup plan in case something happens, because you never know.
Yep, that's right.
You never know. It's important to get out there, right, Councilman Price?
Get absolutely
out there, make a voice, exercise your right to vote, because it was a struggle for us to even have the right to vote. So now
you
we do. Right.
And,
so
you know,
that's
right. And don't you can't take it for granted. And you
no.
can't say, well, I voted last time. You have to vote every time, every time. And, as
yes,
I said,
yes,
at every level. So the president is important,
yes,
but also the school board and the city council and the water board, and, you know, these other positions deserve your consideration as well.
That's right. Can you comment on that one more time, the school boards? Because you said a lot about the youth, and it's so important for us to encourage our youth.
Well, you know, there are always measures on the ballot about additional funds for our schools. That's true in this case, this cycle. But, you know, we have not just school boards, we have community college boards, and they of course, are important. We talk about our community colleges, our two-year institutions. You know, at every level of government, especially about our educational system, we have a chance to weigh in. And our ideas, our thoughts, our suggestions, our approval of funding for programs is really what's going to dictate how those programs are going to be implemented in the future. Yeah. Hello.
Think we lost somebody. Peggy?
Hello.
Hands wow.
What happened to them?
Those are hands.
Hello.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
Did we lose our host?
Yes,
Peggy.
Lost everybody.
Well,
are you there?
Here. So, hello, Councilman?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, this is Katrina, and I have another question, and that is, can you, on the Track My Vote or Register My Vote,
Can you do that after you have mailed your ballot in, or do you have to do it first and then mail it in?
I'm not sure, but I would try it either way. I'm not sure. My understanding is it's pretty flexible, so I guess as long as you've logged, if you can log on, you can find out if your ballot has been received or not. So.
Yeah, I was curious because I thought they scanned the envelope because each one has its own number.
Right.
But
once it comes in,
well.
I think it is scanned. That's how they can track it for you. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know if you guys have been recommending that people do that, but since people are so worried about their vote being counted, it's
mm-hmm.
just an extra step of security.
That's a good point. Good point. Well, I think this is the first time it's been done this widespread, and so I think from going forward, people will, come to understand that's a safeguard they have.
And who was that just speaking? We had a technical difficulty with some good information we have going, and it just something technical
mm-hmm.
happened. So who was the last speaker?
It was Katrina. I had a follow-up question. I was just getting ready to text you.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Katrina.
So, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Thank you, Katrina. Appreciate that. And Councilman Price, do you have any other comments or your perspective on any of the topics that we're discussing, the importance of voting, November the 3rd, the city's response to COVID-19, the crisis, financial support, how we can get the community
yeah.
more involved into what's going on?
Yeah, no, I would say certainly just remember to vote. This is the most important election we're going to be faced with, and so we have a chance to express our will, express our concerns. I hope individual people will do that. We're not out of this pandemic yet. I agree with others that it may be another year before things are back to normal. But in the meantime, we have to do all we can do. That includes being tested. And so individuals are encouraged to be tested. If you haven't had a test, to do so. I probably had about 5 or 6 of them over the last several months. Also the opportunity to, if you have a small business or a nonprofit organization, a chance to receive some financial assistance through the COVID recovery fund. And again, individuals are encouraged to call 833-238-4450 to get further information about eligibility and about the selection of those. And then to remember that, we are in this together. And so whether we're talking about issues related to homelessness or education or the COVID pandemic, we all also need to take care of each other, take care of ourselves, and take care of our community.
Yes, that's excellent, and so important to read those propositions also for the schools and all those other things that's going on, because this is our youth, this is the future, this is us, this have a great impact, and we have to teach our young people, our youth, how to vote.
That's right.
Because if
that's
we
right.
don't
we
want
lead
to
by
vote,
example.
What's going to make them
show
want
by example.
To lead by example? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything in a few words you would like to say to our youth that are listening?
Well, just that, the future is now. We are relying upon them now for their energy, for their enthusiasm, for their commitment. We want them to excel in school, to excel in their studies at whatever levels they are, and know that the community is supporting them. We know that education is an important factor, an important tool to leveling the playing field and making sure that we receive the kind of equity that we're talking about, that we've been marching about in the streets. And so we just want to encourage our young people at every level to stay in school and to really focus on being the best they can be, because the future is now. The future is now.
It is. You said a lot. The future is now. And our youth right now are really hurting. They're not able to go to school like they had been. because of the pandemic. They weren't able to – just imagine those who were in college that were ready to graduate and they didn't get to walk after all the time they spent in college, even high school. The prom, they just missed out on a lot of things.
Yep, all those activities.
If you were to, all those activities mean a lot to our youth. That's inspiration to them. And
it
like
is,
you said, lead by example.
Yeah. Well, you know, they may, you know, I know some are giving up, and, oh, gee whiz, it's not going to be right, not the same, blah, blah, blah. You know, but you can't let a setback define you. And so it's important to be able to bounce back, to be resilient, to be creative, to be resourceful, and to not give up.
Yes, don't give up. Keep the fight. Keep going. Stay strong. Anyone else have any questions? Because we're almost out of time. Can you believe it? Anyone?
Time flies when you're having fun. Huh?
Time flies when you're having fun. We were having so much fun, we had a technical shortage. Can you believe that? Well, once again, you're listening to Women in Motion on eWater Radio. The telephone number is 323-642-1757. Our special guest is City Councilman Curran Price, Jr. We're so thankful. We're so happy that you joined us today. No one other than you to come and share this information about all these programs. And you gave out numbers. You gave out information where people can get involved. And just in a minute or two, I would like you to give some final words to close us out.
Well, again, I just want to thank you, Peggy, and Women in Motion. You know, you all have really set the tone, set the pace for engaging the community, inspiring the community, and informing the community. And that is so important, especially as we're going through these transitional times. These are not easy times, and we all are being pushed to do more and to provide more. And our biggest challenge, of course, is assisting those who are least able to help themselves. And so I think it's important that we keep that in mind, that we have individuals who are homeless, who don't have a job, don't have any resources. And you know, ultimately, we've got to be the backstop. We've got to provide a network of assistance. But to do that, we've got to be strong ourselves. And so I just want encourage everyone to be healthy, to be positive, to know that we will get through this, but we've got to do it by working together. And again, Peggy, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for this program and an opportunity to reach the community in a way that really can make a difference. Again, we thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And anyone who want to get involved, you have information, and also involved, I'd like to get involved myself, Councilman Price, with some of the programs that you have going. And also, remembering everyone, this is October. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Remember, it's not only because it's October, but always remembering that. So we're going to keep the faith. We're going to keep strong. We encourage everyone to get out there November the 3rd. Remember, that's just the date, the final date, but you can go now, as the councilman was mentioning. You can go now. It's open for 11 days. Vote.
That's right.
Make a voice. Reach your propositions. It's very important. You're impacting the school system. You're impacting a lot of things. The way that we live and where we are now all depends on your vote. Once again, Women in Motion, thank you, City Councilman Curran Price, for joining us. You have a wonderful and a blessed day. All my listeners, those who ask questions, thank you so much, and we're out.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. We're